Hello, Radio Land. This is WCOM LP Chapel Hill 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Support for WCOM comes from the Cary Playwrights Forum. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, so it must be time for the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. In the studio, I have an infestation of actors. If you enjoy the show or any show on 103.5, you can support us by contributing safe, tax-deductible donations to WCOM online at www.wcomfm.org. If you want me off the air, please donate more. Drop Dead is a murder mystery farce written by Billy Van Zandt and Jane Millmore and is the next production scheduled to open at the Holly Springs Cultural Center as part of the StageWorks 2018-2019 season. The show opens September 13th and runs for one weekend only. So, here is a sneak peek of Drop Dead.
Good evening, listeners. My name is Victor LePew, wonder child of the Broadway stage. And tonight, for your listening pleasure, we bring you a small excerpt from Drop Dead by Billy Van Zandt and Jane Millmore. Imagine, if you will, you're in a darkened theater. The house lights go to half. The house lights go out. We are sitting in the dark. Curtain opens and...
Ah, what a sad day for the Barringtons, especially Lord Barrington, who was found horribly murdered as he ate cheese in the library. Gouda cheese, sliced thin. I have slaved for this family since I was a little boy, as my father did before me, and his father before him, and my grandmother beside him, and my mother beneath her.
Ding dong!
Ah, the door is chiming. I must answer it as I have since I was a little boy, as my father did before me, and his father before him, and my grandmother beside him, and my mother beneath her. Young Alexander Barrington.
Drools, kindly drools, ever faithful, ever true.
And who is the young woman I see before me?
Drools, I'd like you to meet my new bride, Penelope.
Do you mean Penelope?
Yeah, you're so right, Jules. I just call her darling.
A delight.
The delight is mine.
Ah, Jules, it is a sad day for the Barringtons.
May I take your coats?
Is Mother about?
She's been under quite a strain finding the Lord like that, face down in the Gouda, sliced thin.
Poor Mother.
Poor thing.
How is she?
Hasn't touched a dairy product since.
And my sister, Bet, has she arrived yet?
Yes, she's come, sir. She arrived this morning, singing out loud like a little bird.
How odd.
Not really. She has a beautiful voice.
I'll see if the young Lady Barrington is up and about. May I take your suitcase?
Ow! There's a chill in the air. A chill about this house. Alexander, an evil chill that I cannot explain. I am frightened. Hold me. Hold me.
You're all right, as long as I'm around, Penelope.
I feel better knowing that you are near.
I'll never leave you. Never. The snow. Falling snow. White snow. Snow everywhere. Snow. Each flake different and unique in a melancholy way. Yet, together, a mass of constant white.
What are you trying to tell me, Alexander?
I was born and raised in this house, Penelope. I lived here my entire life, with the exception of school, and college, and day camp, and the week I was kidnapped by the man in the blue mask. This home is my blood, this home and the snow. There's nothing I wouldn't do to keep it. Nothing!
Anything? What do you mean by anything?
Who the hell are you?
Me?
Yes.
Inspector Mounds.
Beg your pardon?
Inspector Mounds, Scotland Yard. I'm investigating your late father's death.
And what have you found? We have nothing to hide here.
Nothing?
Nothing that can't be explained.
Explained?
And what else do you know, Inspector?
We know that your late father didn't die accidentally.
You mean...
murder!
Oh, Alexander, hold me, touch me, thrill me.
Looks like snow.
Would you mind answering some questions, Mr. Barrington?
I have nothing to hide.
The reading of the will tell the tale.
Meaning?
Exactly what was your sister Bet's relationship with your father?
Marvelous, Inspector. We got along divinely. I was like a daughter to him, and he was like a father to me. I miss him so. It's hard to believe he's really gone.
I say, he's not really gone. He's still in the study. They haven't come for the body yet. Snow and all.
Hello, brother.
Hello, Bet.
You must be the new one.
Bet, this is Penepoli. Penepoli, Bet.
Delighted. What did you mean, new one?
Yes, what did you mean? I didn't quite follow that myself.
Didn't dear brother tell you? You're number 13. Unlucky number 13.
13? 13 what?
Why, 13 wives, you little unsuspecting fool.
Wives?
Ha ha!
I thought I was the first.
Naive, foolish, petulant child.
You are the first, Penelope. The first that meant anything.
Alexander, what happened to them? Were they pretty?
They were all lovely. Especially Gwendolyn. With her fair skin, tight sweaters, and massively large jugs.
Where are they now?
She was buried with them.
You mean?
Dead.
You mean?
Murder!
I always meant to tell you that, dear.
Murdered? All of them?
Not at the same time, individually.
Interesting, Mr. Barrington. If you'll excuse me.
Ooh. I was never convicted.
Ow!
Ha ha! Juries can be bought. You never did explain that blood on your socks.
Mr. Barrington, your mother can't wait to see you. I told her you had arrived, and her face lit up like a shining sun in the noonday sun. Presenting Lady Barrington. Presenting Lady Barrington. She can't wait to see you, sir. Her
yes.
face...
Yes.
Lady Barrington.
Ha-ha!
I can hear Mother coming now.
Presenting Lady Barrington.
Where the hell is she?
I shall go and find her.
Wait, stop it, stop it. Where the hell is Miss Crawford, for Pete's sake? Philip!
Please, Mr. LePew, we're rehearsing.
Does anyone but me realize that we open tomorrow night? Philip!
So this is the latest comedy coming out of... Okay, good.
Very serious drama.
That didn't sound dead serious?
Very, very serious drama. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, well, then you have many things to work on.
How could you say that?
In the studio, we have Mia Peters, who is the hair director. And then we have Michael Parker, Doug Simpson, Joey DeSena, Ron Lopez Jr., and Jason Christ. Okay. The other way would have been interesting.
I would have let it go, too.
All right. So we have Jason Christ in the studio with us. And what is your background, Jason, as an artist? Who do you play in this show?
In this show, I play Chaz Looney, who himself plays Drools, the butler that you heard sounding like a British fool. My background is, this is my second major play. My first was at the beginning of this year with Mia and Stageworks. And that's a pretty short description. That's the end of my experience.
That is not fair. You've been an improv artist.
I have been an improv, so I've been on that stage for about 5 or 6 years now. And I also appeared in bar plays last fall.
And Ron Lopez Jr. No, there you are.
Hi.
Describe your theater background.
I've been doing theater my whole life. I went to school for it. I've done lots of different things. In California, I'm from California, Boston, New York, here now. This will be my second show with Stageworks.
Did you go to school in California for theater?
I went to school in Boston.
Okay, and what school?
I went to the Boston Conservatory of Music.
Okay. And Joey DeSena.
Hi.
Last time I saw you, we were in Maine, well, almost. And have you been anywhere since then?
Yeah, actually, I was in the following show at Carrie Players.
10 by 10.
No, that was Plaza Suite. I don't know why that keeps falling out of my head. And then, yes, the 10x10 with the Carry Players Forum, as well as Play Slam. Well, grandchild of Play Slam. So, yeah, lots of little things. So, but this is my first, like, kind of big show since Plaza Suite with Carry. So that's fun.
And Michael Parker.
Yes.
Last time I saw you, you were an automatic teller machine.
I was.
Yes. Do you play a machine in this play?
No. Actually, tonight I was filling in for Jordan Long, who plays Dick Scorsese, who plays Inspector Mounds. I actually play Saul Weisenheimer, who is the producer and doesn't play anyone on stage. Well, phrasing. see the show, you'll understand.
But he is the producer of the show within the show.
Yes. Yes. And a rat bastard.
All very, very confusing. And then we have Doug Simpson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. I started acting in high school.
Well, I didn't ask you.
Well, I was just following along.
But since you're going along.
No, Doug.
I'm just following along with what everybody else did.
Since you're going along, please describe your theater background. By all means, jump right in.
You'll pay for that. acted in high school and college, fell out of it for a while, and then I got back into it by doing Agatha Christie's and then There Were None. Directed by a lady named Mia Peters. I don't know if you know her.
That was also at Holly Springs, right?
Yeah, and that was also at Stageworks. I was also in Plaza Suite with Joey, and now this is my third show this year, Drop Dead.
And an award-nominated run in Plaza Suite for Doug Simpson.
Yes. And I play Brent Reynolds, who plays Alexander in the play Within the Play, and he is a pompous actor trying to hold on to lead roles desperately.
And then Mia Peters. What do you do?
I am the director of this organized chaos in real life.
Excellent job.
Real life director of the organized chaos of this show, which it's fun. I mean, it is fun. You'll get the opportunity to see when everything goes wrong. And it'll be up to the audience to determine, was that supposed to happen or not?
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those plays where even if you mess up, maybe that's okay.
No one will know.
No one will know. Excellent.
We've had one rehearsal. This is it.
The set costs $35. There's nothing for costumes, and we have one rehearsal, and that's tonight. So, you know, there we go.
Well, there you go.
Teasing.
Oh, I was disappointed. I was really hoping for a bang for my buck to come see a
$35
show. It might
still look like we've only had one rehearsal. So.
Oh, good. Maybe I won't be disappointed.
It's experimental theater.
No, no. Who we don't have with us tonight is Noel Bernard Azzarello. Is playing the part that I actually did the voice for, Candy Apples, who also plays Penelope. We mentioned Jordan Long, who was... well, Noel was in, and then There Were None back in January. Jordan Long, who was in Almost Maine with you,
yep,
and Joey, is playing Dick Scorsese. Mona Monet, who was voiced by Joey DeSena, is actually played by the lovely Laura Parker, who is Michael's wife.
But she may have just lost her part to Joey.
She would have a blast playing Dog.
And Joey actually... Well, we'll get to Joey in a second. Or did you already say who you are?
No, I didn't.
Oh. Joey plays Philip, the stage manager. Ron is the director. Constant Crawford is played by Laura Arwood, who was also in And Then There Were None. And then Michelle Corbett plays the playwright of Drop Dead, Alabama Miller.
All right. So most of the men showed up, and then you.
Yes, I am representing the ladies.
The real sausage fest.
So we know this is a play, play within the play, and then something happens to disrupt the show. It sounds like somebody doesn't quite make it to the stage.
No, one of the night before dress rehearsal, one of the actors is murdered, and they find a TV repairman with some great lineage to come in and fill in, and that is Dick Scorsese. And through this play that they're trying to get on the stage for opening night, things break, people die, and the rest of the actors are left trying to figure out who the murderer is, stay alive, keep their careers alive, and get the show through for the critics.
That's every show in the Triangle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super fun. It is absolutely hilarious. I really suggest that everybody get two tickets, one so that they can pay attention to the actual plot of the show, and then one so that they can see all of the bits that are going on behind the scenes and behind the main drama that is occurring, because it's absolutely hilarious. I could not be more proud of my cast.
And this, as we said, this is a part of StageWorks Theater, which is based in Holly Springs.
Right.
This is almost a brand new theater company. It's this is second year?
Yes, this is the first show of our second season. And it's just a hilarious, fun show to start the season off with. We have in January, Girls of the Garden Club, which is followed in February with Greater Tuna. And then end of March, beginning of April, will be Drop Dead.
This is Drop Dead.
This is Drop Dead.
You're directing Drop Dead.
I am directing Drop
Dead.
You're Mia.
Yes, I am.
This is now, sir.
Death Trap, sorry. And then in June will be Harold and Maude, and that is the second season for StageWorks. Clearly it's past my bedtime. Clearly.
So were you part of the process of selecting plays? Of...
Yes, so I'm a founding board member of StageWorks. And we decided the shows that we were going to do last fall. So directors, the directing team put in shows that they wanted to direct. And then the entire board went over them and came up with the final decision being made by our artistic director. So it was a group effort, but the directors got to say what they wanted to do. And then it was chosen from that.
And you were the unlucky person that got the very last show, Drop Dead, right? That was the one that nobody wanted to pick.
No, I really like this show. I thought it was, I think it's very witty. It's really a funny show. And it, what I love about farces are that you can play them as real people who are just in absolutely absurd situations. And I think that's something that we have really kind of dealt with. And, you know, you can look at the celebrities that are on all the tabloids and throwing themselves out there, and they reek of desperation sometimes. And I think that's where we can draw from, is we've seen these actors sometimes in local theater, but mostly on the internet and just the tabloids throwing themselves out there and holding on by the tips of their fingernails to careers that they should just let go. And so we get to have a little fun and make a little fun of them.
There's a lot of pointing fingers going around in the theater as you're describing.
Yeah, they're all pointing at me.
Yeah. So for all of you actors out here, I imagine most of you aren't unfamiliar with comedy. You've been in comedic roles before. Do you all prefer being in comedies, or have you gone back and forth between dramatic and comedic?
I tend to go about 50-50. I do a lot of farces. Also, I enjoy the dramatic stuff just as much, though.
Yeah, you like Shakespeare, right?
I do. Done a little bit. Would love to do more.
Yes, Joey?
Do I look like I want to say something? I don't have a huge amount of experience, but I found I probably prefer to do comedies over the drama. I mean, it's nice to mix things up with drama every once in a while when the opportunity arises, but I think it's almost a cliche that, like, comedy is harder than drama because it's... it's kind of harder to make someone laugh, I think, than to make them cry or mm-hmm. or at least feel sad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's especially hard when putting together a show about it because you don't know what people might find funny. Like something that the cast finds hilarious during a month and a half of rehearsals or whatever. You're going to go through a show, it'll never get a peep. And then something you never expected, it'll just be like, ha! You know, every sick kill every night. So. Yeah. It's really kind of interesting and exciting to discover that process.
It's fun to be backstage when that happens because you see a bunch of cast members throwing their hands up of like, this yeah, is the line. This is the line that gets the laughs.
Every time.
We haven't had a big crowd yet, so I think we're going to be surprised at what lands and what doesn't land.
That is one of the fun things about comedy is it's almost like it has a little more interactive nature to it than normal drama where you're out there performing and you're performing these deep emotional scenes and it just, for some reason, just communicates. But when you're doing comedy, it's not that simple and you got to read the audience and feed off what they're giving back to you in order to give them the best performance you can. It's very different in certain ways. It's a lot of fun to work with if you can make it work.
And sometimes the audience will just laugh no matter what you're performing. As was the case, and then there was not, and then there were none.
That's
our
true.
Our first show was like people yes, were like laughing their butts off, and we're just like, "This isn't funny.
This is
talking
dark.
About murdering somebody. This is what are you laughing at?
Someone hold up an applause sign. This man was poisoned."
Sometimes you get one person who's like a nervous laughter, yeah, or they just have yeah, a nervous laughter, and then everyone else laughs mm-hmm, because of the laughter, and you can't really help that. You just got to keep going.
I personally have jumped around this entire year between a drama and a comedy.
This entire year?
Yeah.
And it's only August.
Right?
50%.
50-50.
You're no, exactly I think, 50-50 with your...
I do think there's a lot more, I'll say, freedom to add things to a comedy. Especially in a play like this where you're playing multiple characters that have been assigned funny lines. You can introduce some funny physicality, funny voice work, funny twitches, funny things you do in the background. Drama might not lend itself to that if your character has to stick to telling this particular story more so.
Ad-libbing Arthur Miller doesn't tend to read well.
And with this particular show, you know, they are not good actors. And
how dare
you? No. The show within the show.
Wow. Do I need to go to commercial?
No. The show within the show, they're not good actors. And so what I was as the director of this, what I was absolutely terrified of when I pitched this show was the understanding that I have in order to have, if you don't have really good actors pretending to be bad actors, what you have is a mess and it just a horrible show, and it's not funny, it's sad. And so I was really kind of concerned about whether or not, as an unknown show and an unknown director in a brand new theater company, would I be able to pull in the talent to pull this off and it not look sad. And I am grateful and thanking my lucky stars and every single day that the people who came out because this cast is so good, and they seamlessly, I mean, the differences between when they're playing the actual character they're playing and when they're playing the character's character is, it's just amazing that they can pull off being this bad. It's a testament to how good they really are, and I am one really lucky girl to have them.
I'm glad your show is not turning out sad.
I was a little nervous. I mean, because, you know, bad acting, if you have bad actors doing their best and it's bad, we've all seen that show. We have all been there, and we have seen that show. And
then there were none.
And...
Oh,
wow.
I was, you know,
can I go to commercial
now? We need to go to commercial now.
Rude. Rude. By the way, I am now looking for someone to play Philip, the stage manager.
I may take a sound snippet of that that you made. Ooh. That was pretty good. So obviously with drama, it's the idea of getting into character kind of is more of a thing. How do you prepare for comedy, anybody? Do you just get the energy up? Do you still get into the character?
Yeah, well, especially for this show, I mean, I think every character, drama, comedy, musical theater, anything, there's always that character. I mean, you're bringing something to it, and you have to be true to the intent of what the scene is all about. And because, especially with comedy, there are always your stock characters. You have your bumbling fool, You have, you have your straight man, you have your cut up, you know, you have your pratfalls that you have to learn how to do, you have people falling around, people getting slapped, people getting killed. So I think for this, well, for me, for this, well, I can't really say because I don't want to give that away. it's been a journey to come into character with this and to not, it was about building relationships. And Mia was very good about that in the very beginning, about having us build relationships and how we felt about each of these people, how our characters felt about each of these people. Because that, I think, is what comes across and makes this show so great, to tell the difference between the play within the play. It's because you see those relationships once we have broken, and then when we get back into it. And I think just focusing on the relationships I have with people and what this character is all about, and just going back to my thought process to begin, is how I get into character. And that probably did not make any sense at all.
No, but that totally makes sense.
In my weird, thank you. Thank you, dear.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll buy you a burger later.
That totally makes sense. Where's my $5?
But that's, yeah.
Yeah, I got you, Ron. You're saying that you are playing a character who's playing a different character, and part of that acting, as Mia was saying, is that you have to let some of the base actor bleed through into the character that they're portraying on stage, and so you're playing multiple levels, the inception, if you will, of theater.
It really is. I mean, they have to, right? And there's one character that doesn't just play two. He actually has three characters that he has to play, and I'm not saying who it is. But one of the things that I really was a stickler about was that there, I have to see a huge difference between your characters, your actual character, and then the play within a play. There is no room for anybody to slack off or be lazy. They have to be on all the time. And what they're doing, it's brilliant. It's absolutely hilarious. And I never have to worry about any of them not being the different characters. They have just taken a lot of, we haven't had a long rehearsal period, but I'm just so impressed by all of my actors, how they have really worked so hard to make that distinction between the character within the play within the play, and then their actual character.
Let me ask you guys, since we're talking about comedies, what are some of your favorite comedies? And I'll let you think about that. My favorites is, I always like the Marx Brothers. And I like watching Airplane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those are great. What about Joey? What is your some of your favorite, like, top three comedies?
I think number one's got to be Schindler's List.
I'm sorry. I take that back. Airplane's gone. Schindler's List is back up.
No. I think there was some study a while ago, who knows how scientific it is, that Airplane's like the funniest movie ever, just like the number of laughs per minute. Mm-hmm. And I could totally see that. Airplane's totally up there, something I can see anytime, watch it, and it's hilarious. Comedy's past that. Ghostbusters is one of my favorite movies.
Ghostbusters is funny.
And because it's there's some strong improv going on there, mm-hmm. Obviously from Bill Murray in particular. But it's not like what you find a lot of the time nowadays with like the Judd Apatow type movies, where it's like they're very obviously riffing and doing improv. Mm-hmm. It's much more natural in that particular movie, so I can appreciate that. A third one is hard for me to come up with off the top of my head. Jason,
this whole list is hard. I mean, the Airplane style of movie is. Naked Gun movies go along with that.
Oh, Naked Gun's hilarious. We're quoting that earlier tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and Clue also, if we're talking about great murder mystery comedies.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably the movie I quote the most in my life is Dumb and Dumber. And it took me like 10 years to really go back and see how many different things are funny in that you don't necessarily get the first time around, which is another thing you'll find in this play. You'll get laughs that you didn't get the first time. When you come the second time, not if, when you buy your second ticket.
One of the things I think a sign of a really funny piece, either movie or play or whatever, is that when it's eminently quotable. When you find your, and we quote the stupid play to ourselves all the time, Going
the
back
what
to
play?
This play.
This stupid play.
It is a stupid play. But like for example, probably a little too often, I say to my boss at work, well, I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. And I think he might start to be thinking I'm being serious, yeah. But yeah.
Well, what about you, Ron? Do you have favorite comedy films?
I would say I have more comedy artists that I like the best, like Mel Brooks. I think it's just brilliant. I mean, you don't get better than that. Carol Burnett, that whole team that she had assembled, anything they did, the outtakes. I mean, and if you really want to see relationships in comedy, people who trust each other, because comedy requires a lot of trust with other actors on stage. You have to trust them to go with you and to be there for you when you start to do something. And if you see those relationships, especially in the Carol Burnett show that she developed with her entire ensemble, it's just amazing. And to try to achieve that and get that, when you get that with other actors on stage, it's just really a wonderful thing. And that's, I think, as a comedian, we strive for when we're on stage.
It's great when they know how to make each other laugh also, yeah. So they really push your buttons. Like Tim Conway would do to poor Harvey Korman.
Yeah. You can tell they're having fun with each other, and that's a good basis for working well together.
What about you, Doug?
There's too many comedies favorites to list, but I can just give you three. Airplane is obviously one of, you know, it's a classic. Caddyshack. I love Caddyshack. More modern, Anchorman is still up there for me. Anchorman is hilarious.
And, Mia, are you okay?
Well, you probably just didn't get it. You're just a woman with a small brain.
Can we loop that?
But
one?
Honestly,
and now it's a commercial.
This is me moving out away from between Doug and Mia.
But my favorite comedy is probably Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That movie, it
doesn't matter when whenever I watch, how many times I see it, it always makes me laugh. Geoffrey Jones is,
yeah.
Genius in that movie. Amazing. And just, you know, I mean, that cast is pitch perfect. Oh, yeah. Alan Ruck and Matthew Broderick.
I didn't like Pitch Perfect that much.
I love Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect is great.
Top comedy.
Great.
Of all time. Yeah.
No, Ferris Bueller, I literally rented that probably 20 times in my hometown video store in the
80s. You should have
bought it. Yeah, at that point, really.
I was only 10.
It wasn't your money.
I couldn't do advanced math like that.
Is Pitch Perfect the one with. That's Jimmy Fallon.
What?
Yes.
No.
Oh,
no.
That's the singing
it's
one.
Fever
right?
Pitch.
Oh, sorry, I got it confused.
Which is a
I get my
Fever Pitch.
Your Boston
perfect.
Red Sox.
Adam, I get my
movies?
Adam Devine mixed up with my Jimmy Fallon. I guess. I don't know.
They look so alike.
They do.
And okay.
I'm taking the microphone away. For me, I'm with.
Skip
Ron.
Right over Michael.
Okay. It'll come back to him. He said he didn't know what it was, so he's thinking. I'm just giving him more time to think. My comedy, it's people, not necessarily a show, but Carol Burnett and Lucille Ball were what I grew up wanting to do and wanting to imitate. That's why I love comedy, because they were the it. Unless I could play Rizzo in Grease. I mean, that was the only other option. But yeah, I mean, Lucille Ball's timing and her, just the way that she carried herself was, and how she could be funny and ridiculous, was just amazing to me as a kid watching the Lucille Ball show. And I Love Lucy. And then Carol Burnett in, Mama's Family.
Yeah.
Oh, what is her name? What is her
Vicki Lawrence.
Vicki Lawrence. Yeah. So those three women were my comedic idols, I guess. And so for me, anything. Oh, and then the Golden Girls. Yes. And there's the Golden Girls.
Which?
Rose.
Which, you know, yeah, I'm often Rose. So I grew up wanting to be Blanche, and turned out I'm Rose. So...
That happens to everybody.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But I'm blonde. I can't help it. But it just those women are, they were who I grew up watching and wanting to be like. So I guess that's why I love comedy as much as I do. Michael.
Okay.
Do you want to be Carol Burnett too?
I did.
And I also failed at being Blanche. actually,
you're not done yet.
I grew up on like Abbott and Costello or Hope and Crosby, Carol Burnett show. I loved the ensemble and the paired comedy groups, and it was a different style of comedy. And so I find I'm kind of the odd man out. I actually didn't like Airplane very much. I don't like that style.
Play
of
that
comedy.
Sting. Dun, dun, dun.
My favorites at this point probably Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, and I was going to say Groundhog Day until Doug reminded me of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So it's a close fourth of Groundhog Day.
I was going to say Groundhog Day too.
That's
great, better every time I see it.
It's a great mixture of awesome. Comedy and some heart and some drama. It's a great movie.
It really is. It's the combination of Bill Murray and Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
I was just reading something today about how like he was able to kind of uniquely corral Bill Murray's crazy into something, you know, a force for good, so to speak.
But when you've got Mel Brooks, when he's on, can't beat him. And then there's
Gene
other
Wilder?
Movies.
Love Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
Love Gene Wilder. And then there's others he did that just do not work for me at all.
Yeah, Silent Movie. I didn't like that.
I laughed once.
Yeah.
When Marcel Mauseau spoke.
Yes.
Yeah,
because that's funny.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, wait, did I see that?
And oddly, Spaceballs.
Oh, you didn't like that?
I hate Spaceballs. Because I love Star Wars.
Oh.
And it's like, let's do a joke about Star Wars, but make it Jewish. For 2 hours.
Mia, where'd you find this guy?
The Schwartz.
It sounds like he doesn't like send-ups.
I also didn't care for High Anxiety. I was like, okay, I see what he's trying to do, but
it didn't work. Calm.
But this is the role part
like
one.
Madeline Kahn.
It did have Madeline Kahn, but Madeline Kahn didn't save it for me. But Young Frankenstein is definitely one of my favorite movies.
Frankenstein.
It's pronounced Frankenstein.
There's a horse in our show.
As far as comedy people, probably my first foray into knowing what it was watching Bill Cosby stand up.
Yeah.
And that's all about him. Anyway, I think he stopped doing things after that in 1981.
Yeah, no one really heard from him again.
But what broke me out of my mind and forever put me wherever my comedic brain is was Jim Carrey and Ace Ventura. To see that someone could go out there and make it look not like you're an insane person.
I thought that was
amazing.
I totally see that now in your performance.
I'm sure anyone that knows me can see that in my brain.
Well, and to be fair, one of the distinctive things about Jason and his form of comedy, what he is so amazing at, I mean, he does voices and he has incredible comedic timing, but what it really is the physicality of his comedy. I've read scripts and I just see Jason doing that, these characters, because of the physicality. And that's what, when I read this script, I went after, you know, cause we all go after directors, I think should all go after the people who are our dream cast. And that doesn't mean we're going to cast them. That doesn't mean we're going to get the opportunity to cast them. But when I read the part of Chaz Looney and Drools, in my mind, I was like, oh, I have to see Jason audition for this and see what he can do with it, because he'd be perfect. And then, thankfully, his calendar and...
several emails and phone calls later.
Yeah, I will... unabashedly and shamelessly say that I go after a dream cast, because I have, you know, I'm a bit of a control freak and I have a vision of what I want it to look like. And I welcome anybody, because I have been surprised multiple times with both shows that I've directed with people who came out of the woodworks and I was just in awe of how great they were. But if I think you might be good in a role when I'm directing, I will hunt you down and go after you and say, please audition. Doesn't mean you're gonna get it, but it, you know, if I think you're going to be good, I'm going to ask you.
Now that we've talked about Jason, would you like to say something nice about anybody else in the cast?
She's probably done.
There's lots of people that I want to say nice things about.
Who aren't here today.
Who are not here. Laura, well,
unfortunately, Arwood, none of them are here.
I want to talk about Laura Arwood for a second because she's not here, and she's such she's been such a big part of Carrie Playwrights Forum. She's a playwright herself. She is. I've worked with her on a show. She's worked for me. She is so brilliant, and she is just the character that she plays in Drop Dead. If you don't come out and see this show just for her, you are really going to miss out because her level of brilliance. I mean, we were talking earlier just amongst ourselves what our favorite part of the show is. Yeah. And more than one person said, just watching Laura. She's amazing. You know, Noelle is, she's so talented. She's so talented. And she is playing this character that is dumb as bricks. I mean, just sack of hair dumb. And it is, you know, I know Noelle in real life, and she's smart and she's talented, but she is playing this dumb girl so well. Laura Parker, you know, not a diva in real life. She is just as sweet as she can be, and she works with students all the time, helping them be the best on stage that they can be. And she plays this incredible diva who is just not her at all. And it's lovely. Michael is playing a character that is like nothing he's played before. And it's so unlike him in real life that watching him go, I feel like he's, you know, and I've known Michael for years, and Laura Parker for years. We did a show together, what, 5 years ago, 4 years
Three
ago?
Four.
Yeah, it's been a while, but but his growth in that time to be able to pull this off is grossly, I mean, and it's, his character is despicable. I mean, it's just nasty.
I put my hand on my wife's shoulder and she shudders.
Because it's so, just his character is so gross.
That was just yesterday, not even at rehearsal.
Yeah. His character is so gross. So watching that growth over the years that I've known him is, it's just, it's fun. And Doug is a gem. I mean, he... In addition to being one of my best friends in real life, he's just, he's hysterical. And the way he goes back and forth between Brent and Alexander, it's hilarious to me. I talked about Jason. Ron is, you know, brand new to the area. He just moved here from California in January. But he is, he's hysterical. People... You know, directors, you need to come see the show so that you can drag him off to your shows because he's that good. This is, he's an actor you need to see. Joey.
And we're out of time.
I know.
And Joey's there too.
And
good one.
Joey's there too. This is a completely different role than anything I've seen him play before. And I think it's a bit of a stretch. He also has excellent comedic timing. It's funny to kind of watch his character be a stage manager because stage managing is really, really hard. Michelle Corbett is brilliant. I, you know, we've been friends. We've done several shows together for years. And she is, again, going in a different direction. This character is completely different from what she's been in other shows. And just watching the actors, who have I missed? I can't miss anybody. Jordan.
Oh, Jordan.
I mean, Jordan is great as well. He does some really fun vocal things, and his physical comedy, you know, there's a lot that is behind this, and it's super fun to watch these guys and girls and ladies bring these characters to life.
I feel the need to note that when we were doing that reading earlier on, when Michael was doing Jordan as Inspector Mounds.
That was dead on.
And I was doing Laura as Bette. Mm-hmm. So we pulled that just as close as we could as their actual performances. So it's, that's really testament to them, I think.
Yeah.
And you can see all of these beautiful people in Drop Dead, a murder mystery farce written by Billy Van Zandt and Jane Millmore. It opens up September 13th,
yes.
Right? And only runs for one weekend. And my understanding is that the last two shows are sold out.
No. Nobody's sold out yet. Buy your tickets soon, though, because we did sell out for, and then there were none, and for Mama Won't Fly completely. And then several shows of God's Favorite and, Whose Life Is It Anyway? All I could come up with was the playwright for that one. So we do tend to sell out shows, so people need to buy their tickets, and you can get that from Stageworks. Stageworks Theater, R-E, on Facebook. There's links to buy your tickets.
Okay, you could just Google that and find it on the website.
It's on the easiest way is to go through Stageworks Theater's Facebook page.
Any last words you want to say, Mia, about people coming to see this show?
Be prepared to laugh. Don't take the show too seriously. And I just want to say that our set builder, it's one of the most complicated and creative sets that I've ever seen. It's truly a masterpiece. And so I'm just really grateful for the team of people behind Jen and Claire and Allie and Skye and Taylor and Blake, who are my behind-the-scenes people who have just made, and Shannon Stansel, who helped build the stage. The set, that just be prepared to laugh, bring tissues, don't drink a lot of drinks before the show because you might pee your pants.
No piddling.
And
we have a no piddling policy.
Yes, we have a no piddling policy at the theater. And get your tickets soon.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming out. I'm going to sign off with everyone in just a few minutes, but thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
The Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour is brought to you by the Cary Playwrights Forum, where creative minds come to play. The Cary Playwrights Forum meets the third Wednesday of every month to read new original plays in various stages of development. Local playwrights and actors are invited to drop in, share their talents, and share their feedback. Also, if you have an original play and you want to hear it performed live on the radio, we want you to share it with us. We at the CPF Radio Hour can do full productions or cold readings of short original plays. For more information on submitting your original work for the radio, visit www.caryplaywrightsforum.com, click on the Upcoming tab, and click on CPF Radio Hour. And now, for your local theater news. Sonorous Road hosts the third annual Open Doors Festival. The Play Festival features new short plays written by local playwrights. The show opens on September 7th and runs through September 16th. Visit the Sonorous Road website for ticket information. The musical Once opens at the Kennedy Theater on September 5th as part of the Theater Raleigh repertory season. Visit the Theater Raleigh website for details. Sister Act has extended its run at Raleigh Little Theater, so you still have a few more opportunities to see the Alan Menken Glenn Slater musical. Visit the Raleigh Little Theater website if you're interested in tickets and show details. Well, that seems to be all the time we have for tonight. A special thanks to Mia Peters and the cast of Drop Dead for dropping in without dropping dead. This has been the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. Good night, and break a leg.